Morning. Well, thanks for praying as we've been going through the book of Titus. Small book, three chapters, written to, of all people, well, to Titus, but also to the people of Crete. Surprising little footnote there in the Bible. You wouldn't expect that. But God is Jesus, the gospel has gone out to the furthest parts of the earth. But as we start today, I guess the first message of the new year here at our fellowship, get the privilege of doing that. We wake up and we have a little more sense of the times we live in. You know, we're hearing of wars and rumors of wars and a lot of crazy things going on the earth right now. So it's good that we can come back to focus on the person of the Lord Jesus Christ and the totality of the scripture. The whole counsel of the word of God is what we've been saying. And we're going to bring up that point today. So let's go ahead and read starting at chapter 3. The intention is to finish today. Chapter 3, beginning at verse 6. From Titus, yeah. And it says, whom he poured out on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that having been justified by his grace, we should become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. This is a faithful saying, and these things I want you to affirm constantly, that those who have believed in God should be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable to men. But avoid foolish disputes, genealogies, contentions, and strivings about the law, for they are unprofitable and useless. Reject a divisive man after the first and second knowing that such a person is warped and sinning, being self-condemned. When I send Artemis to you, or Tychicus, be diligent to come to me, and I should have practice these words, sorry. Nicopolis, for I have decided to spend the winter there. Send Zenas the lawyer and Apollos on their journey with haste, that they may lack nothing. And let our people also learn to maintain good works to meet urgent needs, that they may not be unfruitful. All of you who are with me greet you. Greet those who love us in the faith. Grace be with you all. Amen. Let's have a word of prayer. Lord, we thank you so much for your life. We thank you for your life shared amongst us, the power of the gospel to transform anyone, anywhere, any place. Lord, you are not limited. And Lord, we're praying, Lord, that we just enter into a little bit more of that unlimited life now, that you give us clarity as we go through the scripture. Give us the ability to perceive and to speak and to act, Lord. So we commit this time to you in Jesus' name. Amen. So as we go to verse 6, we look, and are you guys, is the mic working well enough? Okay, they're saying all right back there. So he's alluding to what he had just said, and we had talked about it last time. By his mercy, he saved us, but in particular, linking verse 6 to verse 5, renewing of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us, verse 6, abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior. So that's why I had to sing that song, the abundant life found in Christ Jesus. Poured out on us abundantly. But first, I want to look at another part of this verse. Look at what it says in verse 6. I tend to break down the verses in sections, if you haven't noticed that already. So it says abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior. Now, isn't that interesting? The Apostle Paul, in the first century, being an eyewitness of his glory, really, he got blinded at the same time, but he again and again in a small section comes back to the same idea. He has to say it. Now, he's talking to Titus, who's really, at this point, kind of like a heavyweight of the faith. He's not going to trust this brother to travel through the churches in Crete if he doesn't have some substance to him. But what does he remind him of? The basics, over and over again. He says here, through Jesus Christ our Savior, in verse 6, look at verse 10 of chapter 2. What does he say? He said, the doctrine of God our Savior in all things. Look at verse 13 of chapter 2. It says, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. And he goes further. He says, our God and Savior, Jesus Christ. And then verse 4 of this same chapter 3, it says this. He says, when the kindness and the love of God our Savior toward man, God our Savior toward man appeared over and over and over again. Now listen, when we share the gospel, we have to do what is happening right here. We can't go away from this. Don't get into political arguments about the day or whatever it is to try to convince somebody with some argument that's not from the scripture, is not from the basics of Christ in the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, the fact that he's our Savior and he died for us. Very important. Now, I want to go to the second part, which is really the first part of this verse, when he poured out on us abundantly through Jesus Christ. Now, a verse that I consider similar is it from Ephesians chapter 3, verses 20 and 21. It says, and I want to say this verse in context of what we're reading here in the book of Titus. It says this in Ephesians chapter 3, verses 20 and 21. Now unto him who is able to do exceedingly, here's the word again, abundantly above all that we ask or think. Now I don't know about you, but I can ask and think about a lot of things, what I'd like to have happen, maybe change, but he's gonna exceed this. According to the power that works in us. Now wait a second, it's not according to us, it's according to that power that works in us. Back in Titus, it's the power that he poured out on us abundantly. To him be the glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations. That means us right now, where we're sitting, in all generations that may come after us or came before us, the same thing. Forever and ever, amen. What God has given us abundantly in Christ Jesus is far greater than we can dream or imagine. That's what the scripture says. That's not hyperbole. That's the truth. Now, a lot of that has to be realized in the next life. I understand that, but it's far greater than we can imagine. Now, this applies to this life, too, and we're going to talk about that, how it applies to this life. According to the power that works in us, that same abundant life God shed into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, it says in the book of Romans. God shed the love of God into our hearts by the Holy Spirit. Now, this is kind of Paul bringing Titus back to the basics, but it's good to come back to the basics. How often is it good for us to come back to the basics? How about every day? That's what I find, especially with the trials of life. Did you know what this verse also says? That when you became a believer, you became from a person that was very limited to an unlimited person. That's what this scripture says to me. God unlimited us. He freed us. He put a potential, you know, don't you, those of us that have children and grandchildren, you see a potential in them. You see what they could become in Christ Jesus. That potential is born by the Holy Spirit. That's what God sees in us. Did you know that? When we believe, he gives us his Holy Spirit. He makes us his sons and daughters. But I want to bring something because I think it affects us all, something that may seem counterproductive to abundant life, but I hope to tie this all together. We can have many disappointments and hardships in life, many vexing and perplexing. I came up with that. They kind of rhyme, vexing and perplexing. But really, if you think about it, I bet you right now we could go around the room. There's some vexing and perplexing problems that we have and we face. They seem like they're never ending. They don't disappear. Sometimes these oppositions can come from our own families. Oftentimes. Now, there's a woman in the Bible, and I know this woman, I'm sure we're going to meet in eternity, but she's known for a line that's not so glamorous. And it's out of the book of Job. It's Job's wife. In Job 2, verses 9 and 10, when Job has had all, and you got to understand, I believe she said this kind of in a certain way out of love. Remember what he had suffered through in losing their children and losing everything at one time, pretty much. Probably practically, there's been a few instances of this happening, but this is rare. This was an extreme example God was using. So she loved her husband. And I believe she is the Lord's, because we see that his family increased later on, didn't we? Did we see that it says he took another wife? I don't see that. I think the scripture would have said that. So she was very close to him, but she said this to him when she saw him suffering near death. She says, "Why do you hold fast to your integrity? What the heck is going on? We've lost everything. Just curse God and die." But he said to her, "You speak as one of the foolish women speaks." Who hasn't done that in a marriage? Okay, we've all said dumb things. This one happened to get recorded. "Shall we indeed accept from God, good from God, and shall we not accept adversity? In all of this, Job did not sin with his lips." God knows the heart. It's interesting that that was written in that way. So, see, Job was up against it. And even his wife, who was up against it, realized that Job wasn't letting go of one thing, the abundant life he had in God, his hope in God. He wasn't going to let go of that. And that's something that we need to take heart from. Many people have gone through similar things, but holding fast to God, maintaining a good attitude towards God, seeing what we have in Christ Jesus instead of what we don't have, in the perplexing and vexing issues of life, which there can be many of. See, Satan wants us to focus on all the wrong things. What we don't have in these issues that don't change, instead of what we do have, the abundant life in Christ. We can wake up every morning, be like Job, and not let go of God and say, "You know what? I've got the abundant life poured out onto my life by the Holy Spirit." Now, this isn't just like some crazy positive thinking. This is the truth of the scripture. This is what the Bible declares. We have the abundant life that God's given us. It's good to keep coming back again and again to what we have. And what do I mean? Jesus says that without me, since you're my child, what can we do? Nothing. But in Christ, the abundant life in Christ, there's nothing that we can't do. If we have Jesus, we have everything. We haven't lost a thing. Now, this is hard. This is very difficult. I'm not going to candy coat this. and say it's not hard. It's hard to break through to this. This is where we need prayer. And we need the prayers of brothers and sisters as we're going through trials too. A lot of times we're not meant to go through these things alone. We need other people praying for us. Even as I stand up here now today and share the word of God, I can't do this without other people praying. The Apostle Paul couldn't even do it. Paulus, who we're going to read about, couldn't do it, even though he was gifted in the scriptures. It doesn't matter. We need each other's prayers. But we have everything in Christ Jesus. The abundant life of Christ, the unlimiting life of Christ, it says in the book of Ephesians, really, is that poured out upon us, but in us. Jesus put it this way. On the last great day of the feast in the book of John, it said, "He who believes in me, out of his innermost being will flow rivers of living water." This is the same thing that Paul is saying here. He poured out onto us abundantly through Jesus Christ, our Savior. See, eternal life is in God's Son, and he's given us eternal life. Now, this might seem basic, but we could just say one thing after the other. In Jesus, we have peace with God. In Jesus, we have daily access to peace with God. We need to stand on that rock. In Jesus, we have joy. Whether or not joy for the believer, without me, you can do nothing. So we can think about doing all kinds of things, but in Christ Jesus is where our joy is found. If we can say, and I would almost like to have us raise our hands, I'm not going to do that. But if we can say with confidence that I know beyond any shadow of a doubt, the joy of my life is found in Jesus, and we could raise our hands. Because of the disappointments of life, because of things we've done, stupid things, others have done stupid things, whatever's happened in life, but we have come to the point where we realize, you know what? I'm giving up on myself. Forget about it. But I have joy in Christ Jesus. What an amazing. How is it possible? Against all odds, can we say? Against all circumstances, we have access to God's peace, his joy, his love. The joy of the Lord is our strength, as it says in the Word of God. In Jesus, we can do things we just could not naturally do. What about the most simplest of things? Follow me. We can walk with Christ. We have the ability in him to follow him. I don't know about you, but I've found out very clearly by getting slapped around a little bit is that I can't follow Jesus without his life leading me. It is his life in me that allows me to live the Christian life. You know, really, if you think about it, about the abundance in Christ, I could take the rest of the time. You could take the rest of the time. You could come right up here and talk about how much Jesus has done for you, how much his life is abundant, how it is accessible to us. I know you could. And these are the things that Satan hates that we reflect upon, the truths of the Word of God, of what it declares about you as his dear child. But these truths were meant to hold fast to. And we know the enemy is out to destroy our faith. But let's go ahead and move on. There's two verses, basically. One verse. Having been justified by his grace, we should become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Now we need to ask ourselves, and we probably have done this and have done it a bunch of times, how can it be that God declares me innocent when I'm so guilty? This is why we come. This is why we celebrate the table. I call it celebration. We come to the table. We need the table. We need to realize the power of the cross of Christ Jesus. Now, I had a conversation with a person this week, and they asked where a certain person was. And now they knew that this person had a faith in Christ Jesus. I said, well, I know from the scripture that they're in the presence of God. I don't know exactly what that means, but I said, I know they're in the presence of God because God's word declares it. Well, do you know what this person said to me? Said, well, we Catholics believe in purgatory. I said, well, I don't. I said, when I stand before God, my standing before God is based wholly on his blood sacrifice and nothing else. Amen. That's my standing before him. How can I be so guilty, be set free? We had a song.
Is this a church by any chance? Yeah. Thank you. Do you guys have any food or not?
No.
Thank you.
Come back for potluck. Okay. Might want to. Okay. Well, he's welcome for food when we come back. Okay. But here's the thing is, God declares me innocent. It's Jesus who justifies me. I don't justify myself. Now, that's everything against our natural inclinations, I believe. But, you know, that person who asked that question, I think they thought that person deserved a little bit of time in purgatory. As do we all, if there is such a thing. But I don't believe there is. Because Jesus justifies the ungodly, is what the scripture says. Not based upon us, but based upon him. But I want to take the second part. Now, I will say, let me backtrack. That person, when we were done, agreed with me that there's no purgatory, which was encouraging. Now we'll see if they live by that. They live by that faith. But I want to take the second part of this verse. We should become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Now, I don't want us to get worried about a verse like this. It's a verse that can worry you if you don't go to the whole counsel of the Word of God. Paul says again in the book of Acts, I didn't shun to declare to you the whole counsel of the Word of God. So that's what we're going to do. We're going to look at a couple other verses about this idea, about being an heir. Galatians 3:29 says this, if you're Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. So here's the simple reason. You become welcome to the family when you become a believer. You're an heir, okay? And you've become an heir because you belong to Jesus. But what's Paul getting at? Romans 8, 16 through 18 says this, the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we're children of God. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. Now here's where he doesn't change if we're heirs. And he's getting at something here which we'll say a little bit more on. If indeed we suffer with him that we may be glorified together. This is Job. A willingness to suffer because so much has been given to him in the person of the Lord Jesus. Arm yourselves for suffering, as the word says in another spot. Another verse which explains this, and Paul alludes to this directly, is Hebrews chapter, a very familiar verse, Hebrews chapter 11, 24 through 26. But I want it in context of today, in context of verse 7, that we should become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. By faith, Moses, when he became of age, I forget what age that is for the Jewish, probably 12 or 13, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Now, I want to just stop there because I have some adopted daughters, three of them. Shout out to Moses' mom. Right. You know why? She told him, probably at an early age, this story as he was growing up. It was a big part of him. He wouldn't have heard any other way, is my belief. Now, it's not written that way, but I believe that. Verse 25, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin. This is exactly what I think Paul's getting to in Titus and in the book of Romans and here in Hebrews, is that it's a choice. Okay, choosing rather to suffer affliction, esteeming the reproach of Christ. Now he says it's Christ. The reproach of Christ greater than the riches, than the treasures in Egypt. Reproach of Christ, greater riches. He's saying that our riches in Christ Jesus, the abundant life we have in Christ, he wasn't willing to let go for. Now, we got to think of Moses and who he was. He could have had everything. He maybe could have been heir to the throne. I don't know. But I know he could have had just about anything he wanted in Egypt. Fame, fortune, money, houses, women, everything he could have had from a worldly perspective. But he wanted to suffer reproach. Now, it's interesting. This is an unusual verse if you think about the life of Moses, because Moses inclined his life to follow God. He didn't have it all right. We know things went a lot wrong. In fact, his ministry basically didn't start until how old was he? 80. Okay, I got 10 years to go before I start. But so, what amazing story. He had inclined his heart as a youth towards the people of God. He knew God had a calling on his life. He didn't quite get it straight for many years, but God called him out. So this is verse 26, and I think what we're getting is esteeming the reproach of Christ greater than the riches, the treasures in Egypt, for he looked for the reward. There it is. He chose Jesus, and I'm just taking what Paul says, Christ Jesus, the Savior, instead of the easy way out. He chose the hard way out because he's holding fast like Job was, as his wife said, your integrity. He was holding on to Jesus in the midst of the most difficult circumstances. He wasn't willing to throw it off. See, we're heirs by birthright, but we choose Jesus after we're heirs. This is the way I'm going to put it. We still have to choose Jesus on a daily basis. We can just say we're heirs, we're part of the family, that's good enough for me. But you know what? I know that's not good enough for you. It's not good enough for us. It's not living the abundant life if we don't choose Jesus. And when we choose Jesus, we'll always be rewarded. Now, sometimes in this life, but always in the next. Every time. Now, there's going to be, and we know this from the scripture, there's so many things that we would have done that we forget about. And you know who doesn't forget about them? God doesn't forget about them. He's going to bring them up. It's impossible, but it's going to happen. It's going to become a reality. Mm-hmm. One last thing on choosing the abundant life. Choosing Jesus is just the way I want to put it. In fact, I think that should just be the title of the message today, choosing Jesus. Could be abundant life, but choosing Jesus. See, God is looking, I believe, in Venezuela, too, if you want to think about people right now and not knowing, waking up kind of a little scared. But he's looking for people that are choosing Jesus throughout all the earth. His eyes are going throughout all the earth. He's trying to see who's really going to be willing to lay down their lives, so to speak, not go their own, not enjoy the blessing, you know, passing pleasures of sin. Now there's the scripture right there declaring that there is some satisfaction in sin, but how long does it last? Nanosecond. But choosing eternity, God's looking for that. Who's choosing him? Who's choosing his abundant life? Because you know why? He finds a vessel that's usable. Yeah. That's why he's doing such a thing. Okay, let's move on to verse 8 because we've got to have to finish here. This is a faithful saying. These things I want to affirm to you constantly, that those who have believed in God should be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable to men, women, and children. In other words, Titus, you have all these wonderful truths, all this incredible life, abundant life that's been given to you, but you still need to preach that the saints' faith should influence your behavior. I'm just kind of paraphrasing the way I want to look at it, but if we believe in God, it should influence what we do, is what he's saying. And it should involve good works. Maintain, be careful to maintain good works. Again, back to that verse, Jesus said, he who believes, now see, he who believes in me out of his innermost being will flow rivers of living water to heal the nations, really, so to speak. We're supposed to be God's ambassadors. But look at what the key words here are in verse 8. We who have believed in God, we who have believed in God, should be careful to maintain good works. See, out of our lives, he has poured the Spirit basically because of our faith in him. It's not because we do good works, but it comes out of him. It comes out of the abundant life in Christ Jesus. And those good works are not just good works towards others, although those are obviously included. It's any good work. Now, what's a good work? Any time we choose Jesus over the passing pleasures of sin or life, or our own way, just put it that way. Anytime we're choosing Jesus, we're choosing the good part. Remember when Jesus, I'm mixing up the people, Mary and Martha, he said, it was about Martha. He said, yeah, your sister's chosen the good part.
I'm not taking it.
Yeah, she's going to keep it with her. You're choosing the bad part, sort of speak. He didn't put it that way, but you know what I'm saying. But choosing Jesus will always, we know it. You can tell when a person's walking with Jesus, can't you? You can just come up there. It can even be in a handshake when you touch that person's life. But, you know, unfortunately, it's not always that way. You know, in 1 John, we might get there, you know, John says to the saints, he says, how can you say you love God, but you hate your neighbor? Or their brother or your sister. Paul has to, when he's writing to other people in the church, he has to stop just getting in fights with one another. Again, paraphrasing, you'll let me do that. We could go to the various verses. Stop it, he says. Your faith's not influencing your behavior, in essence. Be careful. The life of Christ is in us, is what I think he's saying to our brother Titus. Okay, I'm going to move on. But avoid foolish disputes, genealogies, contentions, and strivings about the law, because they're unprofitable and useless. Now, there's a lot, there were Jews and some that were hanging around that had become Christians, and yet we know the truth of the scripture. That was a big fight that was going on in the first century. A lot of focusing on the minutiae of the law. I'm just going to put it that way. But you know what? We can do the same thing. We can be guilty of having disagreements on the minutiae of the scripture instead of the whole counsel of the Word of God, the important things. See, I could find fellowship with the Catholic person because I knew we had major tenets of the faith that agreed. And they could agree that their standing before God was based on the blood of Christ, not in their own righteousness. So we have a lot. So it's avoid people that are creating problems in the church. Didn't say we're not supposed to pray for them. Okay, let's move on to verse 10. Reject a divisive man after the first and second warning. Okay, so this divisive man in the Greek, from what I've read, is translated, and it's the only time it's translated, it's called heres, if I'm pronouncing it right, is a heretic. This person's a heretic, and it's the only, from what I can tell, it's the only time the word heretic is used in the New Testament, although heresy and heresies are used quite often in the scripture, but only once here. Knowing that such a person is warped, verse 11. I want to stay right there. Sorry. Hold on. Romans 16, 17, 20. Chapter 16, 17, 20 says this. Now I urge you, brethren, note those who cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you learned, and avoid them. For those who are such do not serve the Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by smooth words and flattering speech deceive the hearts of the simple. But Titus is to do more than just avoid here, isn't he? What's Titus to do? Warn once, warn twice. And then the way I see it in fellowship with the other believers, probably they asked to stop having, you know, coming to the fellowship. They're creating too big of a problem, is the way I read it. But you know what? I'm going to say, and this is me just saying this, and I think it's based on this scripture. I'm surprised how many of us as Christians will take a bunch of garbage in the name of Christianity. What do I mean by that? Well, to the point of feeling we're a victim of our circumstances by these people, by somebody that's a heretic, let me just say. Or we're not victims of the circumstances that we are in life if we don't do something about it. Now, that's human nature, is to complain and do what? Nothing. But what is God oftentimes, if we pray and we really seek his heart, mind, and will, what does he want us to do? Oftentimes, things that are uncomfortable. Oftentimes, things that are not things we would do. And oftentimes, we can even convolute the two. Serving Jesus and doing what Jesus tells us to do. And that's a dangerous spot to be in. This is where we need prayer for one another. There are perplexing and vexing situations in life, aren't there? We need each other. We need God's help. All right. So knowing that such a person is warped in sinning, that's just Romans 16, 17, 20, being self-condemned. It's all about them. It's not all about Jesus. It's not all coming back to the gospel of the Lord. Okay, what person have you ever met in the church that's in love with Jesus, is talking about Jesus, is sharing the gospel everywhere they go, that have you ever seen that person being a troublemaker in your church? Somebody in love with Jesus? I haven't.
No.
Never. Never, never, never. It's always the person all full, and it can be us, full of ourselves, so to speak. Okay, now we're going to go here. Verse 12, we're going to close this book out, hopefully. when I send Artemis to you or Tychus, be diligent to come to me at Nicopolis, for I've decided to spend the winter there. Okay. So he's saying now, you've been doing this work. Think of it in context. You've been working, visiting the various churches in Crete. And I'm going to send these two brothers to take over. When you come, I'm going to send either or, actually, it says here. Send you, or maybe both, maybe one. It says Artemis or Tychus. For I decide, so it shows to me, right from the beginning in the first century, there's a shared ministry. You know what? You're not the big kingpin on the block. God can use other men and women and children, really, to do this work. And visit me here. Don't ignore me up here. All right, let's move on. Send Zenas, the lawyer, and Apollos on their journey with haste, that they may be lacking nothing. Send Zenas, the lawyer, and Apollos on their journey with haste, that they may. So they obviously were going to visit them. And he'd heard about it. These two were going to come through and preach to the churches in Greece. But you know what the thing that really amazes me is that a lawyer made it into heaven. Sorry, my wife's going to get mad at me on that one. But you know what? Now we know from the name, right? Is he is Greek.
Yeah.
Because we know that his name, I believe, wait, I wrote it down here, it means Zenas, it means belonging to Zeus and gift of Zeus, of all things, if you can believe it. Apollos, think of that name too. So, he was probably gifted in the scriptures, kind of like the lawyer, the scribe and lawyer, where when Jesus was talking to the Jews, he'd been very familiar with in that kind of way. But let me just say this. These are two brothers I'd like to hear from. Yeah. Can you imagine?
Yeah.
Apollos and Zenas going around? I mean, they were, at the very least, they were probably Lance Lambert on steroids, is my guess. I mean, they were really gifted. We know that from the scripture. We know that the story, I believe, is Priscilla and Aquila, right, pulled them aside to kind of instruct them in the way more fully. But he was gifted in the scriptures, mightily gifted, is what the word of God says. Even though he's so gifted and he was a gift to the church in the New Testament, you know, from what we can tell, there's probably not a book written by him in the New Testament, though he was so gifted, unless it's the book of Hebrews, who knows. But that would probably be the only one. All right. Verse 14. And let our people also learn. Okay, no, let me backtrack. I've got something else to say. Okay. Journey with haste that they may lack nothing. Okay. So he's saying, look, these guys are pouring out their lives for the word of God, for the testimony of Jesus. Share something with them.
Right.
You know, give them something to survive on as they're traveling all around. And let our people, now verse 14, also learn to maintain good works, to meet urgent needs, they may not be unfruitful. And otherwise, I guess you could look at it this way, don't give them every penny in the bank. Now we do that at the brothers' meeting, don't we? What we ask is, well, what do we have in the account? We have an urgent need, right? We try to keep something in the account for what? Urgent needs. We really do. I'm amazed on how God provides and that we've had that there. I can't remember when we haven't. Okay. That they may not be, maintain good works and meet urgent needs, they may not be unfruitful. Now, we were with our Bobby and Brittany's grandkids, Bryn and Beckett, and they were talking about some TV show where the kids, with also the mom and the dad, are in some competition. But the competition is you win money for. But when you win money, you have to give that money to some other cause. And what was it, what were they saying? They were saying they want to go on that show so that they can give to a missionary they know in Africa. That's why they wanted to go on that show. I was encouraged by that, very encouraged. Maybe they will get on that show. They're quite the wild things as you guys met at the Christmas party 2 years ago. That meet urgent needs that they may not be unfruitful. That we can minister and minister to one another and those that are around. Okay, verse 15. And all who are with me greet you. Greet those who love us in the faith, those that pray for us, though, and grace be with you all. Amen. So that's it, guys, for the book of Titus here. And I just would like to say, I enjoyed going through the book of Titus. I didn't think so starting it, but I really did. I enjoyed it. I loved it. And sometimes we get as much or maybe even a little more than you that hear. The Lord blesses it. But you know why the Lord blesses us? Because you guys pray. So be praying where we go next. And may the Lord bless us and keep us as we start this new year. And let us have that abundant life. Let us focus on that abundant life that He's given us, instead of the problems that maybe have been residing in our lives for years. Because God is greater than all of them, and He's ultimately going to far exceed what we ever could dream or imagine.